not any fuss. Water, sun, and air. I think plants
we are so terrific.
Plants are generous.
It is Garden Talk, hour number two. I'm Steve Garner, along with Gwen Kilcher in the KSRO greenhouse. Joining us this hour is Marnie Turkel from Mostly Species Orchids and Flasks. And we'll learn about the Orchids in the Park big celebration in San Francisco. We do have some complimentary tickets for our Garden Talk listeners this morning. And of course, if you have orchid-related questions, you have problems growing them or intimidated by them or wanting to ID one, Marnie can certainly help you. She has many years growing orchids and is part of the Sonoma County Orchid Society. We are speaking with Sandy about her Japanese maple. Sandy, do we still have you there?
Yes, you do.
Okay, so Gwen, continue on with questioning Sandy about a Japanese maple.
Okay, I'm going to drill you here. These trees, I'm assuming, are in the ground.
Correct.
Okay. About how old are these trees?
They were planted about 24 years ago. How old they actually are, I couldn't say. They were probably, a few years old when they were planted.
Okay. So what are they doing? What is the Japanese maple doing? Let's start with that one. What does it look like?
It's got some brown leaves. There's two of them here that I'm looking at. They both got some brown leaves.
Okay.
And a few of the leaves have fallen off.
Are there any branches?
Huh?
Any branches dying back?
I'm not sure. Not that I can see a whole branch. That's not obvious, no.
Okay. If you look on the southwest part of the tree, looking at the trunk and as high up as you could look, do you see any cracks or any bark that's coming off? Any holes in the tree?
No.
Nothing like that? Nothing.
No, I just see the brown leaves. That's what disturbs me. This is July, so.
Okay. With all the leaves that are on the tree, about what percentage of the leaves are turning brown?
Oh, a very small percentage.
Okay.
Yeah, very, very, very few.
And they're scattered in amongst the canopy? It's not...
Kind of, yeah. It's scattered, yeah.
Okay. It could just be because we had the 100-degree weather quite a few times, and in the high 90s, and with some wind that we had, that the leaves, some of those leaves... just didn't like it, and so they're going to be browning out, and that's that. If you want it, if you can, you could try and give the tree a good drink of water. Is there anything growing underneath the trees?
No, just sand bark.
Okay.
No, I have tried. I actually had the water on for about 3 hours yesterday.
All right. Well, that'll do something. But if you put some compost on top of the ground to cover up your soil, well, you said you had rock?
Yeah.
Okay. Was there plastic?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I have tan bark. Yeah, I can put compost down. Yeah.
Okay, but definitely. You'll have to move the bark. But you know what? I don't think I would go through all that trouble. I would leave it alone. The tree is 25 plus years old. I would leave it alone. I would just make sure that you can get some water to it slowly but surely. And 3 hours. Not sure how much water it got, but that's going to be better than nothing. And I think that this all happened because of the hot weather that we had.
That's a good point, yeah. That probably is it. That's the horrible days we've had.
And if you want it, you can get somebody to climb up a ladder and look down on the branches that are facing the sun and in the sun all day, every day. See if there's any splitting of the bark on those, so to show you that those branches are getting sunburned.
Cut that off?
Then that's just an indication that your tree needs more water and it's not happy sitting out there in the sun. But, giving your tree more water. And do you do any pruning to this tree every year?
Not that often. No, it doesn't really need that much.
Okay, so.
This particular type of Japanese maple is sort of, it's not the ordinary one. It's the one, I can't think of the name of it right now, but when it gets new bark in the spring, it's red.
This coral bark?
The new growth every year is red.
Coral bark, sound familiar? Variety name? Coral bark? No?
I'm not sure the name of it.
Okay.
But then
it doesn't matter. To the bottom line is it didn't like the hot weather that we had and some winds, and then it sucks the moisture out of the leaves.
That must be it. Yeah, good point, the hot weather.
So.
Well, I guess all I can do is just keep watering it and hope for the best. Huh?
Yes. But don't put water up around the trunk. Just go out, two-thirds of the way of the canopy you know, under the canopy of the tree,
yeah,
where the roots are growing outwards. That's where you want the water, not on the trunk. Okay, so keep that
right,
in mind.
Right.
All right, so the magnolia.
Okay, thank you.
Wait, what about your magnolia? The leaves are dropping also?
Oh, that's the last couple of years that's lost some branches. I'm looking at it now. I've been watering it a lot too, and it does have a little bit of new growth as far as leaves go, but it's just, yeah, it's lost some branches.
So when we've had our 4 or 5 years of drought, have you been watering that tree?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe not in the beginning, but I did this year and last year.
Okay, but previous years. So that also could be contributed, the problems with the tree could be contributed to drought, not enough water, because magnolias, the deciduous, and not so much the evergreen, but those deciduous magnolias like water. And they like a good draining
yeah.
soil. And what do you have underneath that tree? Anything growing?
Sandbar.
Okay.
Has
any...
That one...
Go ahead.
The magnolia, I had never watered until the last couple of years. I mean, it always... Because it didn't get too terrible, a lot of sun.
Mm-hmm.
And it just... you know, done with the normal winter water and tapped into that. Now I am watering it.
Okay. Well, you know, just because we do one thing or the tree has done something one year doesn't mean that's what it's going to be doing every year. They kind of hold, you know, they maintain, they hang on until a point where, okay, there's no water left in the soil. I'm starving, say, I'm thirsty, I'm whatever. These are not the conditions I want to be growing in. So they start to die a slow death. So that's what happens
yeah.
With our trees. And a lot of times you don't see effects of drought or anything until, you know, sometimes it's too late. But prune out the dead branches now because you can see where they are. This is a tree that I would really give a little bit more attention to with watering.
Okay.
No fertilizers for anybody. No fertilizer. Just they need water.
Okay.
And the heat didn't help this tree either. You know, this hot weather.
Thanks for your call, Sandy.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Good luck.
Great talking with you. Why should we attend the Orchids in the Park San Francisco Orchid Society summer show and sale, Marnie?
Well, if you want to see some orchids blooming, I think there's 24 vendors at the show, international and local, from around the country. It's a great place to buy orchids. It's a great place to talk to the vendors who, instead of having a little tag on a plant at a big box store that says, I don't know, feed occasionally, you can ask the grower, how do I grow this? Or you can say, I have an east window. What could I grow in that window? The trick to growing orchids is finding one that grows in the conditions you've got. And if you can't ask somebody, where does this really like to grow, you're kind of going blind there. And it's very discouraging to buy a plant, fall in love with it, and then watch it die.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to talk to the source and just see the variety of orchids, the fragrances, the shapes of the plant. It broadens. You'll see things there that you will never see at one of the big box stores or Trader Joe's.
Okay.
There's just a huge variety of unusual and beautiful plants.
And it's next Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 5 at the San Francisco County Fair Building. That's the Hall of Flowers. Easy to get to, 9th Avenue and Lincoln Way.
Yes.
Just right into the city on 19th Avenue, and boom, you're there down to 9th and Lincoln.
Parking is a little bit more of a problem.
Okay.
If you go early, there's parking on the streets and in the park. There is the parking lot for the museum, which is within walking distance. You can, if you've never used Lyft before, you can park anywhere you want where it's easy to park, and I think they give you a discount. And it's pretty cheap. The last time I went to the show, I parked out at the beach and got Lyft, and was like a $6 ride up there. And then got a ride back, and you didn't have to find a place to park or worrying about where you're going to get a ticket. So, but the earlier you go, also there's no events this weekend besides this. So the parking is not going to be as bad as it can be.
And that's next Saturday and Sunday, the 21st
yes.
and 22nd. Well, you have brought some spectacular orchid specimens. Describe what you brought in this morning.
I brought in, these are all species. These are all naturally occurring plants. They grow somewhere. They're a weed somewhere. So I brought in, well, we don't have any pictures, I don't think, and I didn't get it together to do that. But I brought one in from, it's from India, northeast India. It has, almost looks kind of like wheat, only it's dark red with black at the tips. And the it lasts for about 3 weeks or so. It's not common. It's some orchids are really ugly. This is still an attractive plant.
Well, the leaves almost look like corn leaves growing up on a corn stalk and the leaves
yes.
somewhat.
They have leaves that are opposite one another. I have another one that it's a pendant with very small flowers. All of these are small plants. These are not the big cymbidiums, not even as big as the phalaenopsis that you get. When I started growing, I didn't have much growing space. And as a friend said, instead of buying less orchids, she just buys smaller ones. So I grow a lot of miniatures. On this one, the individual leaves, this one is from Taiwan, I think. I'm trying to, it's a gastrochylus, which means stomach lip or pouchy little lip. And so it's, I don't know if we can get a picture here.
He did.
Okay, good.
He took a picture.
But the flower is about 3/8 of an inch across. But it's a very compact plant. So I have hundreds and hundreds of leaves and probably 20 flowers on a plant that's pendant and is less than 12 inches long. All of these, well, the first one I talked about is growing in a pot. So most of these can be grown in a pot, but they actually grow, the majority of orchids grow, attached to a tree. They don't take anything from it. They just hold on to it, and nutrients wash down from things that are rotting and bird droppings. And so there's...
But we wouldn't attach these orchid plants to our trees outside.
Not here.
So,
there are, in San Francisco, you can do that more.
Oh, wow.
What you need to do is, depending on what elevation the plant came from, you have to sort of duplicate that. So if it's a very high elevation plant, you might get away with it outside in San Francisco, but probably not here in Santa Rosa. Most of them, some of the ones that will take... cold nights, the cold winter nights, need to be dry at the same time, plants that come from Mexico or the Himalayas. And so if you have a covered area that's you can moderate so it doesn't freeze, you can grow some outside around here. Okay. Big hard freeze, you need to protect them.
Hi, Marnie. I have a cymbidium that had gone through flowering and looks like it's growing too big for its pot. I have it outside in about a half day sun, watering about once a week, but no fertilizer. What do I do to take good care of it? I got it at Safeway at Christmas with lots of blooms. Thanks. And that's Pam in Healdsburg.
Well, hello, Pam. And it sounds like your plant is doing really well. But they do, well, orchids like to be in relatively small pots. So I might look at your plant and say, no, it's not time to do something about it. Whereas you think, well, it's growing towards the edge of the pot. Orchids will frequently grow over the edge of the pot. Cymbidiums, depending on how big it is, there's miniature cymbidiums that are under a foot tall. Standard cymbidiums, the leaves can be up to 3 feet tall and the pseudobulbs, you know, bigger than your fist. So depending on what size it is, but if it's getting bigger than, if you don't want to move it up to a larger pot, you can divide it, give a piece to a friend, repot it into fresh bark, and just enjoy it at that size. If you want to just pot it up into a larger planter, you can do that. The problem with some of these cymbidiums is you keep doing that for a few years, and then you need a forklift to lift them. So it's sometimes easier to divide it now, and what you want to do is leave at least three, better to have five pseudobulbs. Those are the bulbs that are at the base of the leaf. If you divide it down too small, they take a long time to come back, but you can take it out of the pot, hose it off, hose the bark off, cut off any dead roots, use either a sterile razor blade or tools that have been sterilized so you don't spread virus, and then just kind of hack away at it. You want to try and separate the bulbs so that the rhizome that goes in between them is where you're cutting. You don't want to break the bulbs. And then put it in a pot, usually, it's hard to say without seeing it, but you want to leave an inch or so all the way around the plant in the pot that's free, so it has room to grow for about 2 years. And I would suggest just small fir bark, which you can get at a good nursery or someplace that sells orchids. You can get supplies at the Orchids in the Park also. There's a vendor there selling a lot of the supplies. And you're good for another couple of years. I would say, though, you want to fertilize it. You want to fertilize it in the spring and summer, and then in the fall, cut back the fertilizer. That will give you better growth. Better growth gives you more flowers.
Perfect tutorial for Cymbidium care. Thanks for emailing us, Pam. Mitch has an okra update for you. Gwen, welcome to Garden Talk Live at KSRO. Hi, Mitch.
Greetings and salutations, my kind gardening pals. Ms. Quilcher, I am the proud recipient of a couple, only two, okra that are growing, and how yours are doing.
Wait, you said you have you already picked two okras?
Well, I can't pick them yet. I'm close.
Oh, because they're that close. Oh, okay. I thought you had, like, out of your 60 plants, you had two left. And I went, no, that can't be. So you've got two little okras on one plant or two plants?
On one plant, but the other ones are blooming. But then again, I get into this controversy of, I use Mom and Pa's fertilizer recipe, which I know you don't agree with, which is the fish emulsion and Epsom salts, and I give them a little shot, but they're starting to bloom, but there's two there, but I can't pick two of them. You can't eat two okra.
Right, right. Well, gee, I've been harvesting them for weeks now. I don't know what's taking you so long. No, I'm kidding.
You know, I knew you were going to...
No, I'm kidding. Remember, I hurt myself, so my weeds got a little overgrown around the okra, so my okras are only about 18 inches tall, and so, of course, they're not doing any flowering or anything yet, so mine are behind yours, but... That's pretty good. Go ahead.
I am more than willing, given that I have my own life to myself at any time, I will come out and weed your garden with you. Anytime you want, I will weed you.
Thank you, thank you. But you know what? You're too late.
You got lots of help.
I got a friend to help me, and I also... sat in my little chair, and I was scooting along the rows and bending over and pulling weeds. So I thank you very much for the offer, Mitch, but you're a day late and a dollar short.
Well,
I may be a day late, but I will never be a dollar short. I enjoy your show. And last but not least, I have a Washington Red Delicious apple tree and a grab. And I pollinated the Washington Delicious because it was not self-pollinating. And it came out, it's about 7 years old, and instead of having like five or six, I maybe have 70 or so apples, and I'm looking at them and thinking if I should thin, do I water more, do I give them some kind of nutrients, or do I just let them go? The tree is only 8 feet tall because I've kept them small.
Okay, well, I would just make sure that the tree's getting some water, okay? You don't want the tree drying out. And if the apples do a natural thinning in June, but that, I'm sure, has already passed. So if
it
you're...
It definitely did. There must have been 20 or 30 that fell off.
Okay, so what's remaining, if you have a branch that has a lot of apples on it, and they're all close together, then you might want to thin them out and space them so they have a few inches of space between each apple. And if that branch is not going to be able to support 10 apples, then you're going to have a broken branch and no apples. So you will have to do some thinning if they're clustered together, if there's too many apples on one branch, but you can support the branch.
They are.
So,
and give them a little Give them a little shot of water, too, huh?
A good drink of water, not a little shot. Just give them a good drink of water.
And I know you've already told me, don't water by the trunk. Water out.
Right.
Away from the trunk.
Make a little moat around, you know, a big circular trench, and that's where the water will go in. You know, that's where you water with the hose if you want, and the water gets down right there where the tree needs it.
Thanks for your call, Mitch. We got to run.
Bye-bye.
Good
luck. Nice to talk to you.
Good
too.
Good
talking to you. Thanks, as always, Mr. Okra.
Dang,
of Sonoma County.
His are bigger than mine.
That's all right. It's who finishes the race.
You know, I could lie. I could really say that, yeah,
but
like I did earlier.
That's not who you are.
No.
We'll be back with Marnie Turkel. Get your orchid questions in this half hour. We have an expert in the studio joining us, Marnie Turkel from Mostly Species Orchids and Flasks, and we'll talk a little bit about Marnie's background and how she got into growing species orchids and how do you grow them in flasks. Also reminding you to attend the San Francisco Big Orchid Show next Saturday and Sunday in Golden Gate Park. 636-1350, nobody on hold at this moment, no waiting for Garden Talk answers, or you can always shoot us an email, steve@ksrdo.com. Joining us at 11:05, Chef John Ash in the KSRO kitchen, as we welcome the Gowan family from Philo, California, up in Anderson Valley, one of the premier apple growers in all of California going back 100, 150 years. We'll also have some live Boontling talk, the arcane, unusual language that has been part of the Boontling heritage for over 150 years. That's also part of the show. We'll also be sampling some award-winning hard cider from the Gowan Orchards up in Mendocino County.
Traffic on the fives and weather six times an hour, mornings on FM News Talk Radio, KSRO.
No one likes to live with the mess and inconvenience of home improvement projects. That's why Milgard makes it so easy for you to replace your old, drafty, hard-to-open windows. Often it takes less than a day to improve the look and value of your home with reliable, energy-efficient Milgard replacement windows. Milgard's dependable delivery means you get the right windows at the right time. And because most jobs use your existing frames and openings, it minimizes the mess. Plus, you don't have to worry about disposing of your old windows. Milgard makes it easy to get home improvement done. Call DJ's Sash and Glass today for Milgard Windows. DJ's can furnish and install a variety of shower door enclosures too. Add a touch of class to your glass with DJ's Sash and Glass. 2985 Wilton Court. Call 546-7344 and online at djsglass.com.
Agricultural community farmers markets bring you fresh produce, meat, and dairy each week.
The summer markets are open, so Petaluma has three weekly markets to choose from. The Eastside Market at Lucchese Park is Tuesday mornings from 10 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Wednesday evenings from 4:30 to 8, shop the market in the theater district. And Saturdays, head to Walnut Park from 2 to 5. Petaluma has unique vendors like Lagunitas Brewery, with all the proceeds going to support your local farmer's market. Barefoot Books, Steven Smoked Salmon, Anna's Seafood, Petaluma Bounty Community Farm, Sonoma Spice Queen, Mama Mel's Gluten-Free Bread, and always live music to bop along to. Get all your weekly veggies and fruits, great locally made artisan crafts, locally raised meats and produce, and breakfast, lunch, or dinner to eat on the spot or take home for later.
For more info, check out communityfarmersmarkets.com.
Okay, take one.
Have you seen her? Those who have revel in her beauty and her hightitude.
That's not a word.
She's grown hundreds of feet along West College Avenue to become the longest, fastest, and yes, tallest of her kind. Children weep and call out, "Oh, Mommy, it's the big soapy beast."
No, they haven't.
But fear not, you little rugrats. Splash Express Car Wash opens this May on West College Avenue. Our second location is larger, taller, and faster than ever. Over 50% more vacuums means no more waiting for those slowpokes who just love cleaning and sucking away. Splash Express makes cars cleaner, tires shinier, spouses happier, and kids, well, they'll still call it the soapy beast.
The new Splash Express Car Wash is now open on College, just west of Dutton. To claim your free ultimate car wash, go to SplashExpress.com.
Splash Express, rub-a-dub-dub.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
If you have a gardening question, give us a call, 636-1350, or you can shoot us an email, steve@ksro.com. And along with your question, if you would like a pair of orchid tickets, I believe we can accommodate you. But do give us a chance to help you with any gardening-related questions you might have this morning. Marnie Drickell is with us, orchid expert. If you have, of course, orchid questions, please join us in the greenhouse and tap Marnie's vast resources of orchid lore and information. Are most orchids fragrant or not?
Well, that's a question I don't think I've ever been asked before. So some orchids are fragrant.
Some
orchids, and it's always surprising which ones they're, and fragrance is not always, oh, isn't that wonderful? Some orchids are pollinated by flies, and so they smell kind of like something that would attract a fly, you know, in all its ranges. Orchids don't send their pollen out. Something has to come and take the pollen and transfer it to another flower. So they're dependent upon pollinators. And to attract that pollinator, they do a lot of different things. They don't do any of it for us. All the markings and the colorings on the orchids are to attract the pollinator, to direct them. The shape of the flower will direct them to where they have to enter the flower so that when they exit the flower, the pollen is deposited on their back or on their beak. And they go to the next flower, and then it's placed where there's a receptive area. So they use fragrance for some, not the majority. But I did bring one in today, which is it's from New Guinea. It's
beautiful.
Small starry flower. The plant is maybe 8 inches tall. The flower is about 2.5 or 3 inches across. It's spidery, so it's not a big round flower. But it's only open for a day at a time. And it smells very strongly. I brought it in about an hour and a half ago, and there was just a hint of a fragrance. And now it's getting stronger, and I'm sitting closest to it. So it has kind of, to me, it's a watermelon rind fragrance. Mm-hmm. And so if you're in at 1 o'clock in the afternoon when it's strongest, if you're 25 feet away from it, you can smell it. It's very distinctive. So that's what's attracting this pollinator. This happens to be a white flower. A lot of white flowers, especially in Africa, are pollinated by moths, and the moths are out at night. So instead of using color or pattern, it uses the fragrance. But it's always amazing what is going to be fragrant and what is not. And orchid growers, me included certainly, forget to smell. Some of them you don't smell until you get up closer.
Mm-hmm. And are all these orchids you're describing on your website?
No. I have a lot of information about it. Pictures of orchids for what my business is, just to sell. Oh, before I forget, one of the reasons to go to the show in San Francisco is there'll be tables full of orchids, and you can just go around and smell which ones smell.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm.
Because you never know. Looking at a flower, you just don't know if it's going to be fragrant.
Yeah.
So that's one of the fun things, or smelling it and trying to track down which orchid has the fragrance.
Mm-hmm.
So my business is growing orchids from seed. So I will I will pollinate a flower and harvest the capsule. That can take 1 month to a year and a half. And then I sow the seed, which is done in a sterile medium. You have to prevent any mold or bacteria from growing. It'll just overwhelm the flowers. And so that takes about 2 years before they're ready to sell, another 2 to 5 till they're ready to bloom. So what I sell is not something you're going to, you know, get to grow in your home generally. People do, there'll be 25 little seedlings in a flask, and you kind of have to pamper them the first year or so. And a lot of what I grow has specialized temperature ranges, so they're not suitable for house plants. One of the reasons that most of what I grow are species, naturally occurring things, and they've developed to fit into a particular set of growing parameters. most of what you see, you know, sitting behind somebody during an interview or at the big box stores are hybrids. They're two different species that were created, taken, and made a seed capsule. It's a hybrid, not a naturally occurring thing. And there's something called hybrid vigor. So they're easier to grow. Generally, they come from slightly different elevations or conditions. And so they're not so dependent on what they had when they were developing over eons.
Makes sense. Tony from Forestville has an orchid question for us. Welcome to Garden Talk at KSRO. Good morning, Tony.
Hi, good morning. My daughters gave me an orchid on Mother's Day, and already the flowers didn't last long and died, and I've never been very successful with orchids. So this is called a Miltonia. It says fragrant, long-lasting bouquet, but it didn't last long.
No, it's actually Miltonia is correctly Miltoniopsis, but the labels say Miltonia. It's used to the old name for it. They are a little bit difficult to grow in the house. They have very fine roots, so they need to be repotted every year. They also like good humidity and moderate light. So does the plant still look good?
The leaves are fine. I have it in a back room that the temperature gets a little, these days it's gotten up to 85. I don't know if that's too hot, but it's indirect light.
And what is the temperature at night, do you know?
It goes down to about 55 or 60.
Well, that's really quite good for this particular plant. They like that mid-50s range at night. And 75, probably to 80, it should be okay. It may have been, the flowers on these, which are called, it's called a pansy orchid because the flowers do look like a pansy flower.
Mm-hmm.
They usually last a month, so it depends on how long it had been open before you got it. It may be it had just aged out, that it wasn't anything that you did. They're a little difficult to bring back into flower, but they don't want to dry out between waterings, so you want to water it thoroughly, let it drain, and that's going to depend on the season or if you have heat in the room, what kind of heat you have. But before it's completely dry, you want to water it again. You want to water it thoroughly. And you can check to see if it's been watered. If you pull the tag out and look for the reflection of the water to see if it's halfway up or if it gets down, if there's still water down in that bottom inch of the pot, then it's almost time to water. If it's completely dry, water it right then. Does that make sense?
Yeah, this says don't let it stand in water. Is that?
Well, a lot of people think, I have to keep it moist. So they'll put it in a saucer of water. And then the roots at the bottom, don't get any air, so they rot. And it doesn't pull water up the way that, you know, like garden dirt would. So it's osmotic transfer doesn't work with this. So you want to water it or put it in a, you know, pot for, you know, some water, submerge it for 10 minutes so all of the air gets out, and then take it out. But then let it drain and put it back in its place.
We need to take a break. Any fertilizer at this point or anything?
Yes, I would use quarter-strength fertilizer, like at every second or third watering.
Quarter-strength fertilizer every second or third watering. And give it a shot?
Yeah.
How long before it'll bloom? Will it bloom again this year?
They can bloom twice a year.
Oh, okay. All righty, I'll give it a shot.
All
good
right.
Luck.
Go get them, Tony. We'll be back after this.
FM News Talk Radio, North County 103.5, South County 94.5, KSRO.
Come to the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, voted best farmers market in Sonoma County. You'll enjoy exploring all they have to offer. This summer's market is exploding with all its local bounty. Berries and fruit, summer squash, onions, and vine-ripe tomatoes. Get your vegetable starts and advice from Master Gardeners at the Saturday Market. When it comes to choosing meat, discover the quality of local beef, pork, lamb, and freshly made sausages. Award-winning vendors and artisans offering everything from baked goods, olive oil, fermented foods, spices, and chocolate to hand-painted silk pieces. Enjoy a fruit smoothie, breakfast, or lunch from the variety of food vendors. Santa Rosa's original certified farmers market at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. Open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1. Thank you, Sonoma County, for voting them number one. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
The Alexander Valley Film Society brings back the drive-in movie with a screening of Back to the Future, Saturday, July 21st, at the Citrus Fairgrounds in Cloverdale. Enjoy an authentic drive-in experience with a jumbo screen, local food and drinks from Pix Drive-In, Dahlia and Sage, and Flower Girl, plus Bear Republic brews and wine from the ABFS cellar. Gates at 6:30 for games, cornhole, car cramming, and costume contests, wine tasting, and live bands. Movie at 8:45. Car tickets are $40. Bring your own chair and buy an individual ticket for just $15. Go online to purchase your tickets now. Prices go up at the door. Get to the drive-in Saturday, July 21st for Back to the Future. Cloverdale Citrus Fair Fairgrounds. Tickets online at avfilmsociety.org. Brought to you by Karma Dog Construction and Jane and Ron Pavelka from Pacific Union International.
I'm Dane Lobb. I'm a public safety specialist with PG&E. If you're in your home or business and you smell gas, your first step is to get out. Travel to a safe distance until you can't smell the gas anymore, and then call 911. The first responders will come out, and they'll make it safe for you and your community.
Clouds coming back after today. Today's sunny at 79, 63 on the coast. Mostly clear skies tonight. Low 54, 52 on the shores. Partly cloudy for Sunday at 78, 62 in Bodega Bay. Monday, a few clouds at 83, 68 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
It is Garden Talk live at KSRO. If you want a pair of those orchid tickets, we got a few more left, a few more pairs for the San Francisco Orchid Show. The summer show and sale, July 21st and 2nd, 10 to 5 at the San Francisco County Fair Building. That's the Hall of Flowers at 9th Avenue and Lincoln Way in Golden Gate Park. 636-1350 or steve at ksro.com. Just ask us a garden-related question and a pair of tickets can be yours. Marnie Turkel sitting in with us, orchid expert and grower. We'll continue our orchid conversation. Of course, any gardening questions are fair game for this last 20 minutes or so. But if you're an orchid grower and you're experiencing any problems, or you want some tips from a real expert, call us. Marnie's here for 20 minutes. I love this email. It's very charming. Hi, Steve. Hi, Gwen. Very exciting that we can tell our Alexa, quote, play KSRO. And we can get you and Gwen in all of your gardening glory. Super clear reception. Even better, I called my mom, Gloria, who is 8 years younger than 100 years old, and told her how to command Alexa to listen to Garden Talk in Orange County. She is thrilled and is listening to you every Saturday morning. Please give her a shout out as your newest listener. Regards, G.S. Robinson from Sonoma County.
Very cool.
Isn't that a great story?
But what's Alexa? Who is that?
Oh, Gwen, don't show your, don't parade it on front.
Never mind. Too much time in the garden, I think. That's all. You've heard of it?
Of course.
Yeah.
Not to make you feel like you're out of the know, but yeah.
You know something? You're out in your garden all the time.
Yes.
You don't need to know what's happening in the world of technology. You need to be the repository of the old ways, to bring us the gardening knowledge. Really, you don't need to know about Alexa.
Okay,
it's nothing you could use.
Okay.
Now you might be able to say, Alexa, go out and weed my garden.
That would work. It wouldn't work, but it would be nice. It's a next generation thing.
I'll ask somebody else.
You could ask Mike, the tech wizard, our producer. He'll explain it in easy-to-understand language, what Alexa is and how it can make your life better.
Do you have it?
Gosh, no. I don't need anything eavesdropping on me. I don't need to talk to a machine. I have friends and family and a beautiful wife and kids and grandkids. I got plenty of people to talk to.
Well, then that's why I don't have it, whatever this is.
636-1350 if you want to reach us at Garden Talk or steve at ksrdo.com. You were asking Marnie about how she grows these orchids? And how do you grow these? And what type? Do you have a big building where you keep them, or a greenhouse, or what?
These are grown in a building. They're all grown under lights. Before I did this for a living, I was a potter. I made pots for 40 years. And as I phased out the ceramics and started doing more with the orchids, I mean, with growing them from seed, I just slowly transferred that building. So I'm in a warehouse out on Llano Road, or Llano Road, off of Highway 12. And I have shelves and shelves and shelves, and they're a lot of lighting for each shelf, and they're grown in little plastic containers. There's with gelatin that has all of the nutrients that they need. They're moved several times from one container to another as they grow. And if you, the easiest way to get to it is if you go to Google and look for mostly species, you'll find my website, and that will have pictures of the lab if you go to the mostly species section of that website. And there's pictures of the lab. I think there's a picture of the clean room just showing what it looks like. I mean, they've probably got 8,000 flasks there.
Oh my gosh.
So I spend a lot of time cataloging, you know, what's where and what just got done.
Wow.
But it's just different.
I have another question then. Oh, go ahead.
Maureen from Sebastopol has an orchid question for us. Welcome to Garden Talk Live at KSRO. Hi, Maureen.
Hello. Good morning.
Morning.
I am calling about my plant. What about the roots that come out of the container?
They just come out of the container. They decide where they want to go. And in nature, they're anchored onto a tree, but the roots grow out. And the roots, you know, water drips down on them, the fog hits them. And the roots that grow inside the container are different than the ones that are going to grow outside of the container. So if you're repotting, don't try and put them in because they're just going to die. You can mist them if you want. If they're growing out and they're looking great, if you water the whole plant, not just the pot, they want some moisture periodically. Some, depending on the plant, like it, you know, every day to get a gentle mist in the morning. Most of them will do okay without, as long as the humidity is, you know, not really, really low. And sometimes when they start growing out, you want to take a look and see if the medium in the pot is still good. Is it broken down? Is it mushy? Sometimes it's saying, I can't grow in what you've got here. I'm going to get out of there so I have a better shot at it. And sometimes they're just really happy and they want to put their roots everywhere.
Okay. Has a big, long, green stem with about, I'd say about 10, 20 flowers on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's bent over, so I have it stuck with a stick.
So do you know the name of the plant? Was there a tag?
I don't have a tag on it.
Okay.
It's in about a 3-inch pot.
Mm-hmm.
It's been there for about a year. It sits on my kitchen windowsill, naturally no fog.
Yeah.
And it faces east, and that's about it.
So has it come into bloom while you've had it?
It's been blooming. Oh, these flowers have been there for about a month.
But is the plant new to you, or did you have it before it bloomed?
Oh, I've had it before. It had a beautiful pull out a couple flowers and they died, and I left the plant there and came back. Quite a while.
What color are the flowers?
They're the pinkish with they're about 2 inches wide across, pink, and with a little, that real red little beard in the middle. Does that sound...
What are the leaves? Can you describe the leaves? Or do they have... is there a bulb at the base of the leaves, or just the leaves come out and one on one side, one on the other side?
Okay, let me go. Let me look. I just walked outside. Yeah. Okay, here. It's right here. I keep hearing myself.
You have to turn your radio down when you're talking to us on the phone. Okay.
I unplugged it. Okay, I'll plug it back after I'm done. Okay, it has a little point sticking in the middle where the red purpley, I'd say beard grows out of it. It leaves, the flower itself is pink and white.
Unfortunately, from what I'm hearing, I don't think I can identify it without seeing a picture of the plant or the name. So, but basically, if it's reblooming, you're doing fine.
And it's just blooming there. It's been there for about a month.
Well, enjoy it.
There you are.
Damn, I just wondering about these big gray roots that are sticking out.
Well,
that's fine,
I would, you know, if the plant is blooming, it's probably fine.
And that's all the time we have at this point. Good luck on that. And it sounds like you're doing absolutely everything right, Maureen in Sebastopol. 636-1350. We'll talk tomatoes with Larry when we come back. And we have a question for Gwen when we have time from Jim Kelly asking any advice on growing hibiscus. This is Garden Talk Live at KSRO.
North Bay play-by-play home of the Golden State Warriors and Oakland Raiders. FM News Talk Radio, 103.5, 94.5, KSRO.
Come to the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, voted best farmers market in Sonoma County. You'll enjoy exploring all they have to offer. This summer's market is exploding with all its local bounty. Berries and fruit, summer squash, onions, and vine-ripe tomatoes. Get your vegetable starts and advice.
And without knowing what it was, yeah, I did answer what.
When it comes to choosing meat, discover the quality of local beef, pork, lamb, and freshly made sausages. Award-winning vendors and artisans offering everything
tomatoes.
From baked goods, olive oil, fermented foods, spices, and chocolate to hand-painted silk pieces. Enjoy
blossoms
a fruit smoothie,
rots. You've seen those before.
Or lunch from the variety of food vendors. Santa Rosa's original certified farmers market at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. Open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1. Thank you, Sonoma County, for voting them number one. The Santa Rosa original certified farmers market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Buy Pacifica Hybrid, America's first and only hybrid minivan. It's so quiet, I can finally hear myself think. I should totally adopt a puppy. Oh, what are you talking about? I have too many nice shoes. I also have a 566-mile driving range. Chrysler really gave 110% making this bad boy. Oops, green light.
Introducing the 84 MPGe Pacifica Hybrid. Chrysler Pacifica. Up your van game. Based on latest available competitive information, range based on manufacturer estimates, EPA estimate with a fully charged battery and estimated miles per gallon of gasoline equivalent MPGe. Actual mileage may vary. Chrysler is a registered trademark of SCA US LLC.
Life is fleeting. Special moments pass us by in a flash. Soccer goals, dance recitals, colorful sunsets over the ocean. For 50 years, Shutterbug Camera Shops on Santa Rosa Avenue has taught you how to capture those fleeting moments. And it all comes with expertise. Shutterbug Camera Shops and you, capturing a lifetime of special moments. ShutterbugCameraShops.com.
Shutterbug, old-fashioned service in a digital
Larry's on the line and has an issue with his tomatoes. Welcome to Garden Talk Live at KSRO. Hi, Larry.
Hi. Yeah, the question I have is I forgot to put the lime on my tomatoes, and I'm getting the blossom end rot. Is it too late to do the lime now?
Lime, did you say?
Well, for calcium.
No, what you're starting off with inconsistent watering with your tomatoes. They're getting too dry, then they get too wet, and they get dry and wet, and so the tomatoes know what to do. So,
well, I've had the problem before, and every other year that I put the calcium in there, that eliminates the blossom end rot.
Yes.
And this year I forgot, and I've already got a couple of tomatoes this year with it, and I'm just wondering if it's too late to do the calcium now to do this crop any good?
Okay, no, it's not too late. Do what you need to do with the calcium. That will, because the tomatoes will still be producing, and then the calcium will be there, and the plants will take it up. But you, on top of that, so remember to do that next year when you, before you plant your tomato plants, get all your calcium and other fertilizers that you want in the soil. But you really need to watch the watering, because you might have calcium in the soil already. The only way to know is you need to take a soil test and have somebody check. And you were deficient? You're deficient in calcium? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All of my tomatoes are in barrels. They're not in the ground. They're in wine barrel halves.
Oh, okay. So Oops, he hung up. Well, Larry, nonetheless, get your calcium in the soil for a future tomato production. And then next year, you mix some calcium in your soil when you're getting ready to plant. And watch the watering, because that's also contributing to this blossom end rot.
I'm sorry we got disconnected. Looks like your cell phone gave up the ghost. And final question from Jim Kelly. Any tips on success with hibiscus?
Hibiscus. I guess he's talking about the tropical hibiscus. Yeah. They don't like our winters whatsoever. They are pretty frost sensitive, although there might be some varieties out now that the nurseries are bringing in that can handle a little bit more cold weather. But I would grow them in a container where you can protect them in the winter. They like full sun. They don't like a lot of water, so keep your soil like a wrung-out sponge. If it's too wet, then they kind of get stunted growing, and then the flowers will fall off prematurely. If they dry out, then the whole plant starts wilting, and then the flowers will fall off. So they do like moderate watering, not too much, not too little. Don't go overboard with the fertilizer, because you'll get a lot of greenery and no flowers. So they are, after all that, a relatively easy plant to grow if you just basically watch the watering and give them full sun and protect them in the wintertime.
So there you are, Jim Kelly. And, of course, you can pick up your orchid tickets here at the radio station this week, Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5. And thanks for all the other great calls this morning. Marnie, thank you so much for coming in and bringing these absolutely unique, beautiful orchids that you've grown.
It's a pleasure. I really enjoyed doing this.
Gwen, who's coming in next Saturday, the 21st, to join us on Garden Talk?
Well, this young lady, Tonea Parlo, she works at her mom's coffee shop, the drive-through coffee shop, Highway Express, I think it's called, down the road from me on Old Redwood Highway. And she's only 22 years old. She's a student at Sonoma State University. And she is such an avid gardener, you would have no idea. I go to the coffee shop there all the time just to ask her questions and to see what she's doing and what she's growing and her experimentation with weed control, with sheet mulching and not and this and that. And I said, you have to be on the show.
It'll be a lively show. That's next Saturday. Thank you, Gwen. Coming up next in the KSRO Kitchen, Chef John Ashton, if you're joined by The Gowan, the apple-growing dynasty family from Mendocino County. Sonoma.